Okay, drink coffee?
Sure, I'll have a cup if you've got it made. Okay, today is January 10th, 1996, and this is Karen Brewster, and I'm here visiting with Sadie Neacock in her home, in her kitchen in Barrow, and I'm going to be talking to her about her brother, Harry Brower. I know I wrote you that letter before, but I'll remind you a little bit what I'm doing. I don't know if you know that when Harry was alive, he and I visited a lot, and part of the time I did tape recordings with him, of him just telling me things from his life, stories, whatever. And we had talked about doing some kind of a written thing about his life. But then unfortunately, we never got to finish. So that's why I've gone to school to work on it, because I needed help. I didn't know what to do with it. So, do you know Bill Schneider?
Little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm working with him, and he's helping me. And because Harry and I never finished, there are certain things that, one, certain things I don't know, because we never talked about them. And then, just, I don't feel like I ever really knew him very well. I only knew him a short time, and only a certain point in his life. And that other people who knew him differently. So to help me know more about who he was and what was important about his life, I've started talking to people from his life. I've talked to Eugene. I talked to Tom Albert. Sam Hobson in Fairbanks. And I'm hoping to talk to Max Brewer or John Schindler. Sort of people from different parts in his life who can help give me some insight. And so that's why I want to talk to you as somebody who knew him growing up and his family. And so.
Well, he was, let's see, he was around 4 or 5 years old when I left for high school. And for about 5, 6 years, I was in contact with, when I came back, he was a kid, but, twelve years old when I came back, and our youngest sister, Mary, she was about 5, 6 years old, and when I came back, Dad left, but with Mother always knew what to do when the kids were growing up and putting us through school. So when I came back after graduating from high school, I stayed around and made mostly my rounds with the people that my mom was always so concerned with, like a welfare person, you know. And I made rounds with her when she needed help, and the kids, Mary and Harry. Arnold was quite a young man, getting interested in the reindeer herd, the older ones, Eddie and Charlie. So Harry never went to the reindeer herders, our reindeer herd. Dad never allowed him to go out there. So he grew mostly under like subsistence way of life, going to school and going with mom and her activity with the hunting, and was quite good with his hunting and trapping. And then I went back out after 1 year. I went back out and I left for a couple more years, and then it was around 1939 when I came back. Harry was quite a young man, and getting interested in girls. And I noticed. But quick, you know. And there's one girl that he's quite interested in, Annie Hobson. She lost her mom, she and Sam. They lost their mom quite my last, I guess I was, let's see, in the early 40s, there was so much TB still going on, and that's how Annie's mom died of a hemorrhage.
From TB?
Yeah. And we were all present when she died, and some of us. So, Steve got interested in another young woman, Thursa, and she was my age. She was my girlfriend, in fact. So we used to, when we both got married, I got married to Nate, and we were living in the same area where Sam and Annie were with Teresa and Sam at Cape Simpson. Growing up, and then when we came back, they had gotten to know me and Nate so well that they were forever, you know, at our house. Near our house, and one time came, Harry married, and they had kids, several kids. Nate and I had worked our way into buying this old rundown house, this one.
Mm-hmm.
Used to belong to Oliver Morris. And Harry and they were occupying, after Dad died in 45, they were trying to stay at the same house that we lived in, you know, but the house was willed to our older sister, Mariah, and we just never went in to be comfortable,
mm-hmm.
because the atmosphere had completely changed to where we couldn't live together in that one house. We started separating, and Harry and Annie, they moved to Lee Sula's house in the early 40s, and were there until they decided they would build their own house. They lived, and then she married Harry, thought they lived with me for a while. Here upstairs, we opened up our upstairs. And Aaron and Emily. So I've gone through quite a bit with my younger brothers after they sort of alienated themselves from living at the place where we were born, you know, called our home.
Mm-hmm.
So our living went in separate ways right there in the early or mid-40s when Harry was beginning to get interested in working with, like my brothers had that store over there, but then after Dad died, it just went sort of to the rocks and needed attention. And, Harry went on his way. He became a carpenter, helped around with the Weather Bureau when needed, and with Bob, you know, who was the older one. He was a good carpenter. And from there on, then when the base opened up in 47, then this town needed a research station, sort of, and Max Brewer and John Schindler were sent up to open the Arctic Research Lab. Harry worked most of the time because of his knowledge and hunting skills and doing carpenter work for that outfit. Nate worked there too, you know, most of the people worked. They were a happy bunch. Then Harry's wife, Annie, came down with TB. And I had to take care of all those kids. Had them here in the house. And Annie was down for quite a while. When she came back from the sanitarium, her kids hardly knew her. It seemed like I had two sets of twins here in the house with all the kids and feeding them and Harry by then had established himself and Annie when that when that first housing project first came up.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to order and pay for the lumber, the government would bring it in free.
Wow.
And this is how we remodeled some of our homes, the first homes that got built.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good deal. And it solved many of our housing shortage. Anyway, here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the city of Barrow was backing all this up. We didn't have an Oslo borer then.
Yeah.
And I was a teacher. I was teaching school. So it wasn't hard when Nate and I bought this old place. We were right next to the school, just above here.
Oh,
was
yeah.
The school, and we were given the free electricity into our home, and Freddie Pollock was another native teacher in Flossie Conway. We lived right upstairs in the attic of the school. She wasn't married then. Flossie George, her name. She married a postmaster that came up Conway.
Oh, he was...
Yeah, and they lived up here for quite a while. She quit teaching school, and others took over. The school started expanding. We no longer had two or three room schoolhouses. We were getting, let's say, like five or six house, six room school. The new school got built when they tore down the old one. And then I got to where too many kids before Nate and I knew it. We had five kids, and my babysitter, she wanted more than I made teaching school, so I quit school. And that's when Harry's family moved in after Annie was sent down to. But when she came back, she lived a good. And they lived, and they got quite active. She was quite popular with organizations. And, Harry kept right on working with ARL. And they sent him out, Max and John would send him out to areas like research areas who needed information, down to San Francisco and Seattle. He traveled with most of some of the researchers. He was in New York one time, I remember. Smithsonian Institute got him interested in some, identifying some of the work that was taken down there into those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the work my dad did research in sending down specimens from up north, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And... So there, it's like Harry was known all over. I guess the people he was in contact with spoke so highly of him, and he got so he knew most everybody that came up. And with his spare time was what was quite famous for, was his baleen boats and ivory work that he did, his carving. Mm-hmm. And boy, he built his little shop in his spare time. And when the tourists started coming up here, he made a lot of money with all his and sending out orders, having so many orders he would fill for some of his work. In fact, he really became quite rich with that. I remember when Price came back after that flying school.
Mm-hmm.
They got together and they bought a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry made most of the donation into it. But then I think it was mainly used by the search and rescue group that we had here. I don't know what they've done with it now. Oh, there were ups and downs too, like most any family life. There were times when sort of disheartening areas, like Eugene got involved with that. Oh, he was so heartbroken.
Harry was?
Yeah. But he never really let it go to where he was concerned. But he couldn't really, in his mind, swallow that his son would do deliberately, you know, but he sort of excused it. I think both of us are going to excuse that dilemma to where he got talked into something that sounded so good he couldn't resist, you mm-hmm. know. And then I got involved in the case too, to where I got called in as a witness to the Kissinger.
Oh, yeah.
It was embarrassing at times, and then having been up here, and then having known Eben for so many years, when he became a Moslo bull,
mm-hmm.
finally when they were going to close that Arctic research area up there. The research area was taken over. University put in some, many years before it ever, collapsed. We had many professors from University of Alaska, and most of them I knew already, because I attended 2 years of college down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Geist and Ivor Scholar. I worked at the museum with those two when old Dr. Geist would come up. He was forever at our house. I had gotten to be like, I was a daughter to him, I guess. He would feel so much at ease coming to my house. And then, too, I was down there when we started the experimental farm growing vegetables and putting them underground.
Mm-hmm.
God, the size that first summer, we couldn't believe how big the potatoes got. And the researchers, you know, were the ones that were struck there in Fairbanks. How big during the summer months these vegetables would get if we let them, you know? But they would be like, gee, who would buy something like that? A cabbage is the size of a, my gosh. But it was interesting. And then, too, they had some muskox there in an experimental farm where Otto had, like, a little museum through old shacks and stuff. He put, like, live wolves and fox and rabbit, and I was always helping him go out, kill rabbits and stuff so we could feed that
just like
the
here.
Wild animal, yeah. And then it got carried on over here after he closed it up there. He no longer, during summer months, he would go and excavate, you know, and dig. And when he was quite active, when the other students didn't have any transportation into town, I always had one, even though I had to ride in with that old Willis knife that he had with all those bones in the back of it and stunk. Excavated. But I enjoyed it working with Dad knew him. That's how I got. I couldn't very well say no when Dad asked me, maybe you could help Otto with his work. Because he could never get anyone, any student to come in and help at the museum, cleaning all the mess that he would bring in from all these outlying areas. But when I came back home, I was contacted by BIA, saying that I now qualified to become a BIA teacher because I had completed 2 years of college. I said, oh, for heaven's sakes. What about the rest of my colleagues? And I said, well, they would try and think about it during the summer months, which never came, of course. And, it's...
How many years did Harry go to school?
He never went to high school, but he took summer training. And... he only completed the 8th grade here. And what he worked, because Dad wouldn't send any more of us kids after he tried so many times to educate the older ones, you know. I was about the last one that he was responsible for because the older ones just never completed even their high school education. I did there in San Francisco, Galilea High School. But then when I came back, Dad didn't even know I was on my way back. I'd send him a wire. It's funny, he sent the answer I was supposed to have received through his partner in business in San Francisco on Labor, the foyer, I never got. But there was my brother and Dave and Jim Allen, who lived down in Wainwright. We called him Uncle Jim. I should have talked him into trying to pay my way up and got it, you know. Got on the Alaska steamship. I remember in 1934 there was a big ship strike. And we couldn't directly go into these, but we had to go sort of hide and seek to get in on the Alaska steamship to come all the way to Nome. Got as far as Nome, I got stuck. Had to wire my father again. And I had no more passage to come home. And there he was so mad at me for coming home. Because I never did get the answer to where he was supposed to be coming in with two of my sisters, and that he would be down in San Francisco in September. And here, in the month of soon after graduation from high school, I talked Uncle Jim into paying my way up. Dave had already gone up on the other flight, like he had ordered the dad's stores and stuff. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to come in on the boat, and Dad arranged my flight my pilot through Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm. So what was Harry like as a kid?
He was quiet, sort of. He got involved with Dad had him hunting all the time with a pack sack on his. Roamed this northern area for specimens that he was working at the time, like the birds, the northern birds. Mm-hmm. During the summer months, that's all I saw when I came back, quite a young man, and doing all that. Started with part of Dad's work, like even nesting time when birds he would go out and bring all those, and then empty these eggs with those certain, then send them down to Smithsonian Institute or those museums in Arizona, where they were asking for these northern specimens. Mm-hmm. Harry was involved with all that because there was no local work, you know. Mm-hmm. There was no, the only places of work was the Weather Bureau and the hospital and the school. There was no outside work.
Right.
Until around 1947, mm-hmm. when most of our young men got hired. That Naval Oil Reserve opened up here. So our young people started earning quite a bit of money. About the time when Harry and Annie got married.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any particular episodes from growing up together around the house? Or?
Well, most of the time I was out, mm-hmm. because I was being quite independent and separated myself from the home most of the time, because I was working my first job was at the hospital, and then I went and the only important thing that ever came after I quit working for the school, I was substituting after 1952. But then I was selected as a state public welfare worker. Mm-hmm. And then in 58 and 59, people were, legislators were coming in and out, campaigning for Alaska to become a state.
Uh-huh.
And Max Brewer and John Schindler was sort of a steering committee we had there because we knew them so well.
Mm-hmm.
And when the congressmen and people that did the politics for Alaska to become a state, we met, I can't even remember those people. They made so many promises, and I can remember hearing one of them say that our way of life like in the territorial days,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't change much for the natives. But then soon after, we became a state. As you know, the state wanted a magistrate system
mm-hmm.
instead of to do away with the old ex officio commissioners, marshals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On federal level, they ousted all those and started appointing magistrates in,
mm-hmm.
in larger communities like Barrow. And at first, I refused it, even though I was bugged into trying to take it first time. Eddie Hobson was first chosen, but he could never make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So around May, he started coming over to you. You're going to have to take over because I can't make this thing work. And there's Nate and him bugging me all the time. You got the education, I bet you could make it work. So I accepted. And then in April, the Supreme Court made a ruling that my appointment should come through the second district headquarters, which was Nome,
mm-hmm.
and Judge Gilbert was presiding there then.
Mm-hmm.
So when my name was submitted, he was the one that swore me in to become a magistrate.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on, then I worked with many of the, with John Sindler the airport was there
uh-huh.
when we had to transport our prisoners. We had to take them out there, and I would go and ask Mac to let me borrow one of his jeeps to transport some of our prisoners.
When Annie went out for her TB,
uh-huh.
Harry stayed here?
No.
I mean, he stayed in Barrow?
I took care of the kids. At night, he would pick up the kids, yes.
Okay, so he was here and working at the lab. And
yes, and the kids were with me all the time. Hell, just the time he was able to.
And then did he take them out hunting and stuff with him?
Not too much. Maybe the oldest boy, Eugene, may have. But I was so busy with that spring, I remember he wanted to take some of the kids. Yeah, he did take some of the kids out when the weather got warm,
mm-hmm.
but not too many of them. The little ones, they stayed on with me, and Annie was able to.
Do you know when that was, or which kids? Well, we could do it by which kids were.
There were about five of them. Four or five of them then.
Eunice, Eugene, Ronald. Charlie went to Berna,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Berna. That was when she got sick, see?
Uh-huh.
Berna offered to take. Well, they were going to give. But when Anna came back, she started working to get Charlie back. You know, that was heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bob and Berna had raised him and was so attached to him. But Charlie knows. He
mm-hmm.
still remembers. He must have been over almost 2 years when he got taken back into the...
Oh, it had been that long?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Well, yeah, he still calls Berna Mom.
Uh-huh.
Well, so... Was Price, when Annie was gone and you had the kids here, was Price born yet?
No.
So Charlie was the youngest? Okay. So Eunice, Eugene, and Ronald? I always get the order mixed up. Okay. I remember Harry talking about going on an icebreaker. Working on the icebreakers or the ice stations or something.
Yeah.
You remember?
where the ice station out there. But that was after Annie came back.
Yeah, I don't know when were those. That during the Gnarl days?
Yeah, because they had camps on those big icebergs out there, and Ronald, who was born in 50, was old enough to be out there when he came back from the army, having served for 2 years in Germany. He came back. He worked for Arctic Research and was sent out to work out there.
Oh, okay.
So he was over, Ronald was over 18 when the army called him back to go into service.
Uh-huh.
And we had to go get Max to bring him in from that ice island. And they had to go by way of Thule Air Force Base in Greenland and then bring him back through custom all the way through Chicago and then finally back home from that area because he was in another foreign country.
So Ronald worked at the ice stations before the Army or after the Army?
After the Army.
After the Army. So he was
probably... Before the Army, too.
Oh, when he was a teenager. Uh-huh. Okay.
He did. After he...
So that was in the 70s then?
Yeah.
Must have been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I never knew the time period of those
ice
stations.
Well, I'll tell you. Ronald graduated from Mount Edgecombe in... what year was that? 60. Brother Billy was graduated in 60.
Well, if Ronald was born in 50, he must have graduated.
He was around, he was 18.
So 68. Going on
19.
1968.
Yeah, and then he went to work for Arctic Research when he came back.
Okay.
And he was out there after at age 18. Remember. I don't know if you remember or not, but anyway, we were always getting these written letters from the Army and Navy to join.
Mm.
It was compulsory that you join
okay.
when you became 18, choose whichever outfit you wanted to join. And I remember Danny, who was born in 52, also got a letter. But he had a record of a heart murmur, and they wouldn't accept him. So he got thrown out of his application. He never passed, but Ronald had to go to Anchorage office to get checked and was sent out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Remember Harry going on an icebreaker, like around... I don't know where they went. East,
no,
I guess.
No, there was this, the old Krashen, the Russian icebreaker. Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know. I remember him saying he worked on an icebreaker as their, like, ice specialist or something. And the guys taught him how to read and stuff. Better than because he hadn't had it so much school.
Well, the first icebreaker we had was around 1935 here.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think Harry was old enough to even go out there.
He would have only been a kid.
And but Nate was, and my husband was out there, got stranded in with that icebreaker thing. And then I was in University of Alaska when it happened.
Uh-huh.
And I remember my dad coming through because he was... passenger on that Russian plane that went to Fairbanks, old Smirnov, I remember the captain's name, took his crew into Fairbanks, and Oliver, the man that built this house, Oliver and his wife were living in Fairbanks, and because she had hit her head and cracked it to where she had to be in an area where she could be taken care of, wasn't doing so well. Well, anyway, I was invited. And this one man, I remember this Russian, kept looking at me and started saying the name Maria, Maria. And I didn't know what he was talking about or was trying to talk something about. Mm-hmm. And then this Smirnoff fellow came by, he could speak English, trying to tell you something about your sister Mariah here in Barrow.
Funny.
Yeah, well, anyway.
I was thinking that...
When I came back in 39, then Harry Harry wasn't there either. But then after I went back out and came back, he was married. And so was Arnold, my two younger brothers. And in 47, the base opened up. And in the early 50s, Harry was working with Max Brewer, and he was working at the Weather Bureau before, and then transferred up there when they needed the help on the job training deal. They got hired, most all the men got hired for on the job training, even though they didn't know how to work the field they were hired for. And so when Arctic Research Lab opened up in the 60s, it was sort of different from the CB area. And they started working with the experiments like on animals and stuff. And that's when Harry got. And ice, God, these ice flows. Let's see, I got a picture showing where ice islands, they call them.
Yeah. T3 and something else.
Those. In one of these things, you can see me. Here it is. I was the first woman along with this other one.
Oh, that
one? You go on an ice island. There's me right there. And Harry was out there, and Arthur and my husband, they were all... Oh, when I got off the plane, Max Brewer offered to have me taken out there because it was my birthday. Since he didn't give me anything for the whole community doings, I thought he was joking with me, you know, when... he said, well, you know, the only thing I can give you is a ride out to the ice island. You'll be the first woman out there. Oh, for heaven's sakes. And I didn't take him seriously. But when he came back that afternoon, it was so nice. The sun was shining. I thought it would be so cold way down there near the North Pole area. We were some 400 miles from the North Pole. 300 miles from that ice island was out there. And it was the biggest flat area. It was old DC-3 they took us out there with. And they were building a camp where they were putting up these Quonsets, these tent-like structures on it. And Harry was out there. And so was my husband, an author, Nate's brother. They saw me. What are you doing down here or up here? I said, well, I was called in to do some kind of problem you boys were having. And they looked at me with those big eyes. I was the magistrate then, you know. And I just pulled a fast one on them and they looked at me. Hey, Harry, you scared me. But, you know, they were so happy. But then when one of them they were forever in contact with the Russians because they also had an ice island out there. So I don't know too much about that area when they were together, you know, because the Russians had these icebreakers in and out. I know several of us came in from the east to what they call a Northwest Passage deal that they were trying to...
I'm trying to think that... I wonder the icebreaker thing I'm thinking about that Harry talked about was Coast Guard, maybe.
Well, there was a Coast Guard icebreaker that roamed here during the winter months, too. And they even had a submarine come out through here all the way from it had gone through the point, the South American point down there, came up all the way, and then came up north. We heard about it, and then they were in contact with it with an icebreaker out there.
So when was the Coast Guard icebreaker around here?
Oh, my gosh. God, we've had several of them. Since then, I can't...
You remember Harry going on it?
Well, I know he got on one of those... because Max really got him, you know... Harry was so well-liked by those two. And... they couldn't leave him out. If they were to give anyone a chance to further his education or knowledge, they would be the ones to do it because their interest in Harry was so great, you know. And he was in New York at times where they needed his expertise on something. He was taken to San Francisco. He was taken to Arizona and those research areas. So I know that Max and John, they would be involved in any of this. They would know.
Okay, so maybe they got him on the icebreaker. Okay. You said Harry worked for the Weather Service? The Weather Bureau? Just building the houses?
Yeah, when they were moving them and so on and so forth. There weren't too many people that worked on those. Those were the earlier project.
Do you know, did Harry spend a lot of time with your uncles when he was growing up?
With Alec and... mainly, not really too much to where he was too young, I think. Because Alec, as well, was about the only one that Mom would trust her boys with if they went out fishing or up the river, you know. Tahlak was mainly back east. Those two are the main uncles that we knew that traveled quite a bit.
Tahlak?
And Aswa.
But Tahlak was mostly east of here?
Yeah. He moved his family here. Oh my gosh. How old was I? Maybe in the late 20s, like 27, 28. And Tahlak moved his family here.
To Barrow?
Yeah. After living in, you know, subsistence way of life.
Yeah.
Because they had to be in an area where they thought was good for the area to feed their families.
I was wondering if that's who Harry learned all his hunting and traveling skills from, or your uncles.
Mainly Asua, I think. Because he probably went trapping and stuff. And Joseph, the older, Mariah's husband. Joseph, he would go with Joseph.
After he and Mariah got married?
Yeah. Because those three, like, Nate, Joe, and Harry. Arnold was with the Navy, with the armed forces then. Harry never got to go out.
I thought he was in the army at Nome for a while.
For a little bit. But that we didn't think too much of it to where we didn't get too involved. It was more like National Guard, territorial type thing.
Okay. So Nate, Joe, and Harry went hunting a lot together?
In the wintertime, trapping mostly. And hunting, whaling, when they were joining with Dad's whaling crews, and after Dad died, they got their own. Then we got his own boat after he moved over here. That was in, let's see. In the early 50s. Started being on their own. And then later on, I know Nate was helping him since Dad gave him some of his whaling gear, you know.
Gave Harry some?
Yeah. And then, too, they could afford some of the equipment that they needed. Harry tried his, after he moved right next door to us, he set out a boat, but he wasn't too successful. But the next year he did. Got himself a whale. That's when Nate got interested in putting out his own crew. Boy, that wasn't a headache. Turned out with the whole. And so, enough mucklucks and garments at that time. We didn't order any of that. Those bunny boots.
Yeah. Now, did Harry have a crew for a while when he was a teenager or something?
Yes, he did.
How did that work? Was it your dad's crew when he just ran it, or what?
That's how Dad straight. Started them out, but they were actually Dad's crews. But later on, after Dad died after 45, then he got his own crew.
Okay.
He was quite young.
So your dad kind of put out a lot of crews, and the different sons were in charge. Okay.
And some of the elders, like, you know, his in-laws, like Asok and Talik, my mom's brothers, were in charge, and some of the trusted old friends like the Okakok and, I think when I was growing up in the mid-20s, when I could remember real well, Dad would have about four crews out. Supply. I remember Robert was in one, and then Dave. Tom was mainly with the reindeer herd. He was interested with the care of the reindeer herds. But after the the reindeer scattered somewhere and never came back after the base got too much activity in the tundra. Our reindeer herds just never came back.
Yeah.
1 year.
So
Tom brought his family here and moved in.
So, you said that Harry went around with your mom a lot, so were they pretty close?
Oh, yeah. Dad never hunted, you know. But Mom was the hunter of our family. She was here and there. And when it came down to shooting ducks for lighterage personnel, like, we used to cook for the whole town when the ships came in and feed them there at the station when we were old enough. Harry was out duck hunting, getting all the eider ducks that were needed for duck soup and walrus meat and stuff to feed the whole town for lighterage, lightering the boats.
So you think, did he, so your mom taught him how to hunt? So how did Harry get along with your dad?
Good. They were good. Only Dad was getting so old to where, you know, he cared, but then he never really took Harry under his wing to care for the store or anything, like a business for his trading post, and it was mainly David and Tom and Robert, when he came, separated himself from the reindeer. He came and he worked for the Weather Bureau for a while too, until everything opened up. Robert mainly worked with the hospital. He was a maintenance man for the hospital, just as I could remember. Harry never interested himself in that health facility, but he was with the Bureau building, you know, there quite a bit when they were moving the Weather Bureau up there. Then in 65, when we were given lots, we were given the lots where where we had our houses and where we intended to build. So we were given a certain amount of property by BIA.
So is that when he built the that house? Because he built that whole house himself,
oh, I know.
Right? Okay. So how did all you guys, you're a big family, lots of kids. How did everybody get along with each other?
Oh, in a big family, I tell you, there are a few squabbles here and there over property, sure. But then after Dad died, nothing ever really got settled because of our oldest brother, Tom, was forever filing suit against us, like on that piece of property over Briarville.
That big one over by Berna's house?
And the way Dad left it in his will, that was to be used for his children and their descendants, the way he put it, undivided. But we couldn't. In these days, you couldn't go over there and squat in part of that your brothers and sisters are on top of you. You can't build there. I'm having my eyes on it. Finally, we gave up after 45 years. We decided we're going to have it divided. So 2 years ago, we did. We did it all divided except for one portion of it. There's a lot to where I've been trying to get rid of mine. I don't have intention of building anymore. I've asked the kids if they were interested, but the tax is so high on it.
Yeah. But it's so nice having it all just open like that.
But when it comes time to pay your taxes, it's over $1,000.
Wow.
And I don't think anyway, brothers and sisters have paid up. I've been fortunate enough to have no debts in it. So when I approached you have to look borrow or someone interested in buying it. They told me if you wait until February, they'll give you top dollar on it.
Huh.
So I'm waiting. But just so you get it out before tax time. <And when?
laughs> So Tommy was the one that was the difficult one on that?
Property here. He thought he owned the whole thing. He thought he inherited the whole thing. Until I became a magistrate and wrote Dad's will for my kids and their descendants. I wrote, you're going to have to get a letter. I mean, you get yourself a lawyer and find out that you don't actually own that thing by yourself. It's for all of us. I think what you do owe is, own is the third, where Dad left you his business, but not the rest of it. It was in three parts. When Dave couldn't handle his share of it, then Tommy bought him off, I guess. But so it left us in Harry. I remember how he got so mad. But Tom come in with this easement that after a big storm in 63, the borough needed a road, an easement to build a road right through that property. And Tom got himself a lawyer and put his wife's name on it and left us all out. And he had contacted the Bureau of Indian Affairs saying that he would like to sell a portion of that lot using his name and his wife's name. And we all jumped on Tom. I said, you can't do that. I closed. Got hold of Tom behind closed doors and tried to explain to him, because I was a magistrate, that he couldn't put his wife's name on it. After telling us, you know, if that property had to go through our hands, our husbands are nothing, you know. And we came back on him. Your wife is nothing. He didn't want to take that. But so feuds like that, we got along all right, except to where that property just held us down, where we were forever bickering with each other, trying to settle it. Tom's gone. His daughter and son-in-law running that place up there. Some of Tom's kids. Dorothy.
Dorcas.
Has her dad's business head to where he just as soon hauled the whole thing and leave her brothers and sisters out on the lurch. So anyway,